Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today's readings talk to us about faith, and there's so much I want to say that I think it could consume all the programs of this week. But there are a couple of very important points I want to make. We, each of us, every single one of us, needs to grow in faith. What do I mean by that? What does it mean to grow in faith? It means to more, and this is my definition, it means that you more and more and more every day of your life put your trust in God, put your trust in His will for you. We're always afraid of God's will. Put your trust in His will for you. He knows you better than anybody. He knows what will bring you safely home. Listen to Him. That's the heart of faith. I'm going to be having a book come out in another year on all of this, but I just want to say now, ask God, thank you, say to God, thank you for the gift of faith. Help it to increase. And it increases by putting your trust in His will for you, following His will. That's real faith, and that's where real faith can grow and mature and bear tremendous fruit. We take a look at the first reading today from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Read all 9 verses. I'm not going to take the time right now to read it. I want to read a few verses and then share something with you. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Now, Abraham hears this voice, the Lord. "Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you." Abram went as the Lord directed. And then it goes on to describe what that journey was like for him. I have a very good friend whom I haven't seen actually in some years, Father Killian McDonough, a Benedictine priest from Minnesota. And he put out a short book of poetry, and he speaks about the call of Abraham. He speaks about this passage that we're reading today from Genesis 12. Now, you've got to have a sense of humor to hear this, but it's marvelous. And it speaks of faith. "Talk about imperious, without a by your leave or may I presume, no previous contact, no letter of introduction, no greeting, just out of the blue, this unknown God issues an edict. This is not a conversation. Am I a nobody to receive decrees from one whose name I do not know, and at our first encounter, I have worshipped my own God. To you I had addressed no prayers, offered no sacrifices, asked no favors, but quick, like sudden fire in the desert, without the most elemental ritual, I hear, go. At 75, am I supposed to scuttle my life, take that ancient wasteland Sarah, place my thin arthritic bones upon the road to some mumbled nowhere? Let me get this straight. I will be brief. I summarize. In 10 generations since the flood, you have spoken to no one. And now, like thunder on a clear day, you give commands. Pull up my tent, desert my home, the graves of my ancestors, my friends next door, leave Haran for a country you do not name there to be a stranger and a sojourner. God of the wilderness, from 2 desiccated lumps, from 2 parched prunes, you promised to make a great nation. In me, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. You come late, Lord, very late, but my camels leave in the morning." Do you get that? I read this several years ago on this program, and I unearthed it again because I was thinking how much that speaks of faith. He had all of the questions and the doubts and the fears and the confusion that anybody would have. But look at his last lines. You come late, Lord, very late, but my camels will leave in the morning. In other words, I will obey your word. And he became the father of faith. God wants to increase our faith. Read this passage of Genesis, the whole thing, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Think about what it cost Abraham and how he became the father of faith. How he became a father of faith for us. A sign to us. And for me, that poem brings it out. You mean you want me to leave this and you want me to do that and you want me to give this up and you want me to take this on and all those kinds of things that can happen, whether we're living in his time or we're living in the 21st century, wherever we are, it's the same things that happen to us, the same obstacles, the same fears, the same doubts. But God always wants to lead us closer to himself. And he always wants to use our lives to help others, to be signs of hope to others, encouragement to others, faith to others. Psalm 33, bless the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. And we, by baptism, are chosen by the Lord. We're received, we're created, we're baptized, we're given a share in his very life. And still, how often we want to go our own way. And the gospel for today is the gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Jesus said to his disciples, stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. Note that, stop judging, that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but you don't perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? In other words, you see a splinter in your brother's eye, but you don't see the trunk in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye while the wooden beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. In other words, let's turn off the judgment, and let's turn the eyes toward ourselves. And let's say, what am I doing that is not in conformity with God's word? What am I doing that's disobedience to God's commandments? Look at yourself. We're always pointing the finger at others, but not at ourselves. And Jesus is very, very clear here. For as you judge, so will you be judged. I have to battle that myself a lot. But the more I do, what happens is the more God shares his heart, the more I begin to see how he loves and how he can love through me. I'm just on the road, like all of us are. But I can see that when I really began to deal with my own inner judgments of other people and other situations, when I began to deal with them, really deal with them, I experienced being drawn closer to God. Why? Because I was taking the beam out of my own eye. And then God is using me to help take the splinters out of others' eyes. Don't you think God wants to do that with you too? One of my favorite writers, Merikakis, Father Simon. Now, Father Simon is now a Trappist monk, and he wrote this three-volume study on the Gospel of Matthew, and it is the Gospel of Matthew that we read today. And he writes, stop judging others as is your wont, that you may not be judged by God at the last judgment. This is the full sense of the prohibition, if we closely scrutinize the forms of the Greek verbs used. Do not judge, that you may not be judged. The important nuance here is that if we do not judge others, most likely others will go on judging us, but God will not judge us, and that the one judgment at the threshold of eternity is the only crucial one. There is a necessary relationship between my habit of judging my brother at every step which is here addressed by our Lord, and my habit of worrying about survival, which he has just been exposing. As long as anxiety about my own and my family's welfare forms the basis of my life and action, as long as anxiety about my own and my family's welfare forms the basis of my life and action, I cannot help viewing others and judging them according to my own blueprint for success. If I'm so anxious all the time about my own salvation and those I love, then I end up judging more people. And what Father Simon is saying here is the need to stop judging others. Simply look at the Lord and look at the grace God gives you and pour that out on your family and those with whom you work. Put the judgment aside. Just stop it mid-sentence. Whenever you realize that's what you're doing, just stop it. Be ruthless with it. You'll be amazed at how much of your day you spend judging others, criticizing others. And Jesus is saying to us, do not judge that you may not be judged. He says, I can't help viewing others and judging them according to my own blueprint for success. Thus, I will decide whether they are on the right path or not. I will determine whether they even have a reason for taking up space in the world in proportion as they fit in more or less with my own grand designs. See, I judge everything from my perspective. And brothers and sisters, my perspective compared to God's is nothing. And what we want is to have God's mind for other people, for other situations, not our own. We're too limited. We're too sinful. Father Simon says, to judge others, I must go about assuming that I'm the center of the world, that I'm the omniscient center whose every insight is infallible. That is, it can't make a mistake. Well, even God himself is not such a center. Rather, he is the all-containing sphere that embraces all, sustains all, and forgives all. God cannot be objectified as a center, for that would rob him of his universal, nurturing presence. He wants to bring us to life. And our judgment of other people again and again and again stifles his presence with us. Those are my words. Father Simon, if I had the mind of God, I would forgive all, which means I would sustain rather than judge, or better still, my very judgment would consist of forgiveness, because it would judge the misery and the plight that underlies most human actions. God does not investigate the virtue of a bird before he proffers it a branch on which to build its nest. All God sees is the creature's exhaustion and its need for a stable point in order to have even the possibility for nest building. If God does that for the birds of the air, what he would do for us? Our habit of judging others really entrenches us in the impossibility of our receiving God's or anyone else's forgiveness. Not indeed because God does not give it, but because we have ceased little by little to think of ourselves as at all needing forgiveness. Hear this, brothers and sisters. Hear it and heed it. More tomorrow. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.